pillaged the temple. That's our theme today, the temple. And he took, the Bible says that he took all the treasures. He took all of the golden vessels that were used for the worship of God. But although they were gone for 70 years, you know what God promised? That every single one would be returned. And you know what? When they were freed from captivity, every single vessel that Nebuchadnezzar had taken was returned. That gives me a hope. That gives me a promise that nothing that the devil has taken from you, he's going to get to keep. I shall recover it all. You shall recover it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask for them to put on the screen Mark chapter 10 and verse 35. Mark chapter 10 and verse 35. And it says, James and John, the son of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And the topic or the title of my message is, What would you like him to do for you? If you could bow your heads one more time. Father, we thank you for your presence. We ask you to anoint the words that I shall speak, that they will find good soil, that they will be edifying, that they will build faith, that they will provoke, hallelujah, that they will uplift, that they will bless, hallelujah, that they will sanctify. We thank you right now for filling this atmosphere with faith in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, turn to someone, shake their hands, and tell them, I'm glad you're here. Amen. You may be seated. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, most of you have probably been going to church a long time, most of your lives. At least I have. I've been going to church all my life, even when I didn't want to. I was taken. But you know how the Bible is. You can have read something 100 times, and then on the 101st time, something will jump out at you. And I don't know if you've realized this about Jesus and the New Testament, that Jesus didn't actually give many answers to questions. I don't know. Go study it for yourself. Someone has counted the number of questions that Jesus was asked, and they said it was 307. I never have personally counted, but they said there's 307 questions that were asked Jesus, but he only answered actually directly about 3 or 4 of them. Instead, you know what he did? He asked another question. He asked another question. I'm going to give you some questions. He said, can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Another question, oh faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? You see, he was asking a lot more questions than he was actually giving answers. And you may think, why is that? Here's another question, how many loaves do you have? It was always prompted by a question. We're hungry. Can't you see the 5,000 people, they don't have anything to eat. He knew the situation. He knew exactly what the situation, but instead, he chose to ask them back another question. Have you anything here to eat? He was God in the flesh. He knew exactly the situation, but instead of giving them a direct answer, he asked them another question. But who do you say that I am? See, he was always asking questions. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Do you know that was a question he asked? See, we've entered into a new year, and we may have a lot of questions, and if we could have Jesus right here now, I'm sure all of you would be asking him questions. But I have a feeling that instead of giving you a direct answer, he would ask you a question. Maybe one of these questions he asked his disciples, can any of you, by worrying about 2017, make yourself live a little bit longer? Can any of you, by worrying about your school, pass your tests? Can any of you, worrying about your job, put food on your table? No. He would ask you a question because, you see, the answer is actually in the question. See, Jesus was actually teaching something in the way that he answered the question. We see in this story that the two sons who were called the sons of thunder, James and John, they came to Jesus with this amazing question. They didn't want a new BMW. They didn't want money. They didn't want to win the lottery. They wanted something much, much more. Master, we would that you should do for us whatsoever we shall desire. That wasn't a small question. That wasn't a small request. It was like when people come to you and say, I want you to do me a favor. You always pause, right? Okay, let's see what's coming next. And most people, when they do that, they want you to say yes before they have told you what it is they want you to do. We want you to do a favor. And then they wait for you to say, okay. They came to Jesus and they said, we want you to do whatsoever that we should desire. That's a huge request. They didn't even put a barrier on it. They said, we want you to do whatsoever that we should desire. Maybe it was that they had heard Jesus said that if you ask and my words abide in you, in my words abide in you, shall ask whatsoever you will. They were going to test him on his answer. They came to him and said, we've heard that we can ask you whatsoever. And they came to him and said, whatsoever we shall desire. Now that's a big, big request. But Jesus, instead of telling them what he already knew they were going to ask, asked them a question. What is it that you want me to do? You see, we've entered 2017 and we all have these desires that 2017 is going to be better than 2016, that we're going to achieve more in 2017 than we did in 2016, that we're going to fix some things, some issues in our lives in 2017 that we didn't handle in 2016. And if we had Jesus here, we would be just like these two. We think, what? How bold of them to go up to the master and ask such a big question. I wouldn't ask for that much. All I want is money. Maybe all I want is a relationship fixed. Maybe all I want is a car. Maybe all I need is a new home. But they were not limiting what they were going to ask Jesus. They came to him and said, whatsoever we desire. Now, he could have said, that's a big, tall order. But he said, what do you want? He turned it back on them and asked them, what do you want? See, I'm going to give you a little revelation today because there is a way that you can get something special from Jesus. There is a way that you can get that answer that you want in 2017. So I'm just going to do like Jesus did. And instead of giving you an answer right away, I'm going to ask you some questions. What is it that you desire in 2017? What have you been setting your heart on in 2017? What is it that you would like to happen in 2017? What are you wanting to see in your life happen? Is it a financial blessing? I'm sure most of us could say yes to that. Is it a health blessing? Are you sick? Is there a family member? Is there something that you want God to do in 2017? Is there a family relationship issue that you would like fixed in 2017? See, we all have questions that if Jesus was standing here right now, we would be mobbing him. We'd be like the widow with the issue of blood. We would press our way. We would be determined. I am going to touch the master today if he was standing here. But let me tell you a secret. He is standing here. Although you can't see him, he is here. He is here. See, we see that these two brothers got the other 10 upset because they didn't just want money or silver or gold. They said, we want a seat. We want to sit on your left hand or your right hand and not just sit down here. We want to be seated next to you in the kingdom of heaven. They wanted something that was so big, that was so awesome. They realized that if you buy a car today and drive it out the showroom tomorrow, it's automatically lost a couple $1,000s. You buy the most expensive thing, next week you try and sell it, you'll find you can't sell it for what you bought it for. But they realized that there was something that was much more precious than earthly things that they wanted from Christ. It was not something that was down here. It was not something you could touch with your hands. It was not something you could see except by faith. They wanted to sit in the kingdom. I'm asking you, what are you asking God for in 2017? Is it for material things or is it a seat in the kingdom? Because if you truly want to be blessed, you'll ask the right question. See, Jesus always, almost always replied with a question. And It just hit me the other day when I started to look. He never gave too many answers. He was always asking back a question. And the questions actually were the answer. But you know what you have to do? You have to dig. You have to dig it out. See, we're in a season now of everyone filling in their tax form, right? And you can tell the ones who are expecting a blessing because they are getting it in January 31st, as soon as they get the W-2, they're expecting. So those ones do it early. The ones who are not expecting a blessing, they will be running down to the 6th Street Post Office at midnight on April the 15th to put their tax return in. Now, maybe if Jesus was around, you would say, Lord, I need my taxes paid. And you know, he can do that. In Matthew 17, 24, we see that when they were coming to Capernaum, Matthew 17, 24, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And Peter said, of course he does. Of course he pays taxes. You see, Jesus can meet your need, but we have to ask the right question. He saith, yes, and when he was come into the house, before he started speaking, the Bible says Jesus prevented him. Before he was coming into the house, Jesus already knew what conversation had gone on. And he said to him, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? In other words, who do they make pay taxes? Now, in this country, in America, everybody pays taxes. The president pays taxes. At least they're supposed to. Let me say they're supposed to pay taxes. But in the United Kingdom, where I grew up, the Queen is exempt from taxes because it's her taxes. Do you understand that when we get to that heavenly kingdom, we're going to be exempt from all taxes? Maybe you understand why James and John were not asking for the payment of their taxes. They were asking for a seat in the kingdom. Because the sons of the kingdom are not going to be taxed. Do you understand that we are free in Christ? That we are free in Jesus? So Jesus asked him the question, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Do you understand? That is why James and John understood that if they got a seat in the kingdom, there would be no taxes there. There won't be no April 15th. There won't be no filling out any forms. If you can get a seat in the kingdom, if you can ask the right question for 2017, not how I pay my taxes, but Lord, how do I enter your kingdom? How can I get a seat in that heavenly kingdom? How can I reach that heavenly Jerusalem? See, Jesus knows what you need, but yet he let them ask. He lets us ask. We see in the case of the blind man who was crying out as Jesus was passing, they tried to shut him up, and he started to cry out the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they said, shut up. The master doesn't want to hear your cry. That made him cry out the more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Finally, Jesus stopped in his tracks. Then Jesus asks him a strange question. Now, this man was blind. Jesus knew he was blind. This is one of the cases where Jesus asks a question. What do you want me to do for you? That seems so strange. We say, Lord, why do I have to pray and ask? You know what I'm in need of. You know what I need right now. But the Bible says we need to confess. He needed to acknowledge his situation. You know, you can't help someone until they acknowledge that they need help. Sometimes we are so proud to ask God for help. We'd rather rely on our job. We'd rather rely on the government. We'd rather rely on a friend. We'd rather rely on anybody but come to church, kneel at an altar and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. If he had said, Lord, all I want is riches. If he had said, Lord, all I want is someone to put me into the water. There was a man that Jesus came by with a pool and he asked him virtually the same question. But he started to tell a different story. Instead of saying, I want healed, he said, I have no one. See, he was thinking he needed someone else other than the master to solve his problems. Jesus is asking us today, in 2017, what would you like me to do for you? Now, we can tell him all kinds of answers. I need more money. We all need money. But that's really not the answer. That's really not the answer. Well, we need health. Yes, we do need health. And that is an answer. But you know, if you died in your health and went to hell, that would be no answer. What we really need is to be bold like the sons of Zebedee and say, Lord, let me sit in your kingdom. Is that your wish in 2017? Did you start 2017 asking the right question? Because if you ask the right question, you'll get the right answer. You'll get the right answer. We see that Jesus knows that we've been toiling all night. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need shelter. You don't even have to ask him that. You have to ask him the right question. Because he's a master of questions. He knows how to answer you with a question. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? When Lazarus had died, he came and he said, don't you know that I am the resurrection and the life? She didn't realize that who it was. She knew he was the Messiah, but she still didn't realize the power that he had, that he could resurrect the dead. Instead, she was saying, if you had been here last week, they wouldn't have shut off the lights. If you had been here, they wouldn't have taken away the car. Don't you know he can make a new car? Don't you know he can give you a new job? As my son said, rejection is only God's redirection. You see, we have to really claim that scripture in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things worketh together for good. See, if you can remember the first three words, if you don't remember the first three words, the rest of it doesn't apply. You have to say, and we know that all things work together. What question are you asking God for 2017? Are you asking the right question? Are you asking to be a soul winner? How many of us prayed in 2017, Lord, let me be a witness. Let me be a disciple. Don't hold up your hands. Amen. But if you did, you were near to asking the right question. If we were asking for financial blessings, God can give it. He wants to take care of us. But that's not really what he would like you to ask. He has some other questions for you. Is it for a deeper relationship with God? Is it for his blessing? Is it for being able to be a servant? Is it for winning souls? Or is it just about me, I, and myself? See, God will give you talents. God will give you secular blessing, but that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. See, James and John realized something. They could have asked for riches. They could have asked for money. They could have asked for gold. They could have asked for silver. But they asked for none of those things. They could have asked to live a long life. They could have asked for no tribulation. But they said, Lord, we want to sit in your kingdom. You know my story that when I got married, I told it so many times, I'll tell it again. My mother and father were here. I was living in England and were getting married, so I thought they would send us some, you know, getting married, send my brother with some big money. That's what I wanted. Young couple getting married, you want money. And here he comes with this big box. I'm all excited. I open it up, and it's a big old fat family Bible. Big old fat family Bible. Expensive looking family Bible, but I couldn't spend it. Let me confess, I wasn't happy. I opened it up, and my mother had written an inscription. And it, you know what it is. It's Matthew 6:30. It says, seek ye first kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Guess what? All these other things. All these other things. What are you asking for in 2017? Now, it took me a while to start following that scripture. And I don't still follow it perfectly, but I'm trying to realize that nothing I have comes from man. All that I have comes from God. And when you seek him first, when you put him first, when you ask the right questions first, he will give you the right answer. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will follow. We have a great example of that, and I'm not going to be too long. We have a great example of that in Solomon. When his father David died and he was going to be king, the Bible says that God came to him in a dream and said, "What would I do for you? What should I do for you?" What I'm trying to tell you is God is asking each and every one of you in 2017, "What should I do?" And he's testing you to see what your answer is going to be. Is it money? Is it religion? Or is it salvation? There's a difference. There's a great difference. Is it to please him? Is it to draw closer to him? Or is it to give you a relationship? What are you asking in 2017? 1 Kings 3:5, it says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Oh, yes, BMW, 740. Or maybe a Tesla, S, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds or whatever it does. It's amazing what Solomon asked. I think this is one of the greatest things a person could ask. He said, "Give therefore thy servant," verse 9, "an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" He asked for wisdom. Do you understand how much more valuable that is? Imagine if you had perfect knowledge. You'd never make a bad decision in your life. If you had perfect relationship knowledge, you'd know all, okay, I'm not going with him, not going with her. I'm not going to take this job. Imagine, you see, we look at the low levels instead of looking at what is true truth. He asked for wisdom. And verse 10 is also an amazing verse. The speech, the request pleased the Lord. The Bible says if a man's ways please God, what does it do? Amen, amen. We need to ask in 2017 the right question. That's what we need to do. If you could stand with me. And God said to him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches, or for the life of thy enemies." Yeah, some of us would say, "Yeah, get him, Lord. I hate that guy. Lord, he's a pain in the neck at work. Can't you fire him for me? Get rid of him." That's what some of us would say. Solomon didn't even ask for the life of his enemies. "But you have asked for understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I'm going to do what you ask." Jesus is asking in 2017, seriously, what would you like me to do for you? It's a test. It's a test. Most of us are going to ask the wrong thing. Most of us are going to ask that because we're just looking at what we can see with our natural eyes. That's what Lot did. He saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. Looked good. He didn't even pause to say, "God, is this your will? Oh, it looks so good. I'll choose that." He only escaped with his life. "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there it was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." What a blessing. God says, "I'm going to give you so much wisdom that there will be no one before you or after you who can compare with the wisdom I'm going to give you. None." But here's the next part that's real interesting. And "I have given also unto thee the thing you did not ask for, riches and honor, so there will be none like thee before thee or ever again." If you study it, Solomon received 25 tons of gold a year. 25 tons. And he reigned for 40 years. The thing he didn't ask for, God gave him anyway. I'm asking you in 2017, what are you asking for? God is asking, "What would I do for you?" Please ask the right question. If you truly ask the right question, you'll get an answer like Solomon. If we ask the right question, God is going to say, the speech, the question, please the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. Just put your name in there. So whatever you've asked for so far, get your eraser. Get rid of it. And ask God, just like James and John, I want a seat in your kingdom. Jesus then told them, you know, what you've asked is a pretty difficult thing. If it was money, if it was riches, if it was cars, I could do that just like that. But what you have asked is an order of magnitude. But guess what? You can have it. But here's the catch. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I have? Are you going to be able to go through some trials and tribulations? Are you going to pick up your own cross? Jesus said, anyone that follows me must first deny himself, take up his own cross, and follow me. But you know what? The seat's reserved. If you can be baptized with the same baptism that I've been baptized, if you can drink the cup that I have to drink, the Bible says the servant is not greater than his master. So if I can just be good enough to suffer like Jesus, now which of us want to say that? That's the test. That's the test. But in all that, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm closing this service, but I want you to ask yourself the question. Jesus is asking you a question. He asked 307 questions in the New Testament. And I believe one of them he's asking us today is, what would you like me to do for you? It's a test. Let's carefully consider our answer. But if it's, Lord, let me have a seat in your kingdom. Wow. Because you can have it. You can have it. I open these altars. We're going to close this service. If you would like prayer, if you would like to ask the right question today, as we enter into 2017, and like Solomon, that God could look down upon you and say that the speech pleases me. Because you didn't ask for all these other things, I'm going to bless you in 2017. I'm going to open doors for you in 2017. I'm going to make sure you get healed in 2017. I'm going to remove doubt and fear and depression in 2017. You know, I saw a little saying, and it went this way. It was by, I forget where I saw it, but it said, they're so poor, all they have is money. Think about that. Some people are so poor, all that they have is money. Today, right now, right here, you can get something much more valuable than money. You can get a question asked you, and God can answer it this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to close our eyes, and we're going to bow our heads, and we're going to bow, most of all, our hearts. Father, we just thank you today for your presence, your anointing. Lord, I know you're...